Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us. We're going to continue part two here on these UFO hearings as I text myself. Or actually, I've already been texted. I'm going to email them to myself so I can show you these articles about some technology out there. And Jason Pratt, the former Navy test pilot and rocket scientist, is going to join us here in just a moment. These hearings in Congress yesterday, let me just make the disclaimer again. I'm not buying what the guy in the center is selling. The guy at the center of the table, reportedly some intelligence officer, whistleblower. I'm not buying what he's selling. I don't even know why they dragged this guy up there, because he seems to be quoting other people. Well, I have talked to a person, okay? So you have not seen the non-human entities that were pulled from the craft. Okay. So I'm not buying what he's selling. I really am not. And I don't know what the purpose of this misinformation is, but it sure is setting a lot of foundation for a global spiritual deception, as I said yesterday and for the last many, well, since early 2020, when I finally dared to wade into these waters of UFOs, which we never would touch. It's like Bigfoot. You just don't talk about it if you want to keep your credibility. I'm not Art Bell. But when the government starts releasing videos of pilots chasing things and the Pentagon's releasing papers claiming there's a mothership sending dandelions, as they call them, down here to probe, then you might want to start talking about this craziness that's going on. So we waded into it into 2020. But I have been saying this is laying the foundation for spiritual deception. No doubt about that. Now, I literally just got a communication from one of my kids' friends. My kids' friends who's been around and been in and out of our home since they were in elementary school, now an adult in the workforce. Hey, Mr. B, what do you make of these hearings? Do you believe there are aliens? Do you believe there are life forms outside of our planet? Folks, this is confusing a lot of young people. But maybe at the same time, it gives us an opportunity to take what's common to the culture and turn it into a pulpit. But a lot of young people are watching this. And by the way, these clips, I'm told that these clips, like we've been playing yesterday, we'll play a few more today, are all over social media. All over social media. And you know what young people do all day long, right? Watch social media, TikTok, and all the other things. And notice, by the way, everybody yesterday couldn't say tic-tac. You know, the airplanes are chasing this little tic-tac. They all wanted to say chasing this little tic-tac. The brain is so used to saying tic-tac, not tic-tac. But anywho, this is confusing a lot of young people. Or it's causing a lot of young people to think, well, maybe there is life on other planets, which only lends credibility to Darwinian evolution. Only lends credibility to transhumanism. That there is life that is more highly evolved biologically and spiritually. It's only laying the foundation for the coming of some kind of technocratic savior. Yeah. Now, I'm glad they're doing the hearings. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad they're doing the hearings. Because it gives us an opportunity to say, you see, this is how deception works. Now, I want to make it very clear. I believe the commander who has given testimony on TV like National Geographic, we played it in one of our programs in 2020, one of the pilots chasing this tic-tac. I believe him. I believe he was absolutely chasing something technology-wise we don't have. Now, or should I say, something technology-wise we think we don't have. Because today I got an article from my friend out on the West Coast telling me about some technologies in the past and some technologies that are now supposedly around. We'll find out what our friend Navy test pilot and rocket scientist Jason Pratt thinks. But I do think that it's very probable that that little tic-tac they were chasing was probably, if not technology that we or another country have that's beyond, you know, anti-gravity technology, if that's not it, then obviously it's something of a demonic nature. But either way, it's laying the foundation for the deception to come. And I don't know how the deception will be. Some of the deception will be manufactured. Notice that I slowed down on that word, manufactured. It'll be done by man. Manufactured. Operation Blue Beam is what some people call it. I've seen these videos of things in the air that are holograms that look so real, but it's computer generated into the air. Who knows what will be manufactured to deceive the whole world, right? But then there are counterfeit miracles. Notice it says counterfeit. Counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders that deceive many who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, the Bible says, God will give them over to a strong delusion. He'll give them over to it. You guys want to go there? Have at it. And there'll be no more protection, no more Holy Spirit holding back. He'll just say, have your way, I'll give you over to it. The strong delusion, strong deception. All of this is laying the foundation for that deception, I believe. And we're starting to realize who are those that want to be discerning and who are those who just want to be deceived. But I'm glad they're holding these hearings because it gives us an opportunity to go through lessons like this. So I believe the commander, the Navy commander that was chasing this tic-tac, I believe him. The guy in the middle from the intelligence world, so-called, who says he has a friend who has a friend who has a friend. I don't think it was quite that far out, but that's kind of what it reminded me of. Well, I know someone who has seen, but I cannot talk to you about that unless we go into a skiff. Okay. All right. Boy, don't you look important. I don't know. His body language, his facial expressions, everything about that guy was sending up red flags to me. And Patrick Wood and I talked about it last night. If you want to go watch that at WVWTV.com. Now, let me know, guys, when we have Jason with us. We do. All right. But before we go to Jason, I'd like to play some clips, a short clip, of my interview last night with one of my favorite members of the U.S. Congress. I'm not a big fan of most members of the U.S. Congress, but I like this guy. And his name is Congressman Glenn Grothman. And many of you know him. He is from the 6th District there in the great state of Wisconsin. And he's a regular on this program. And he makes himself available. He's easy for us to get a hold of him. He's eager to come on and talk. We agree on so many of the vital issues of the day. I really, on a personal and professional level, what I've gotten to know of him, we've never had the chance to meet in person and have dinner or anything. I would invite that. But what I've gotten to know about him on a public stage, I really appreciate Congressman Glenn Grothman. So last night, he was very gracious with his time to come on about 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. He'd had a long day because he was the one that started out chairing. He started out chairing this meeting. And I think he said in the introductions he was going to be there for a few minutes and leave, but he ended up staying. I want to share with you what he had to say last night. Guys in the control room, get ready. Here we go. Listen to what my friend, Congressman Glenn Grothman, had to say, who chaired this UFO hearing yesterday. Here we go. Limited time. Congressman Glenn Grothman, thanks for making time for us tonight.
Always time for Brandon House.
You're very kind. You're very kind. Thank you. All right, so here I am doing my show prep today to be on all those stations of VCY America Radio Network, which covers your 6th district in Wisconsin. And as I'm doing my homework, wow, there you are. I had no idea you were chairing this committee. Now, it sounds like from your comments you had to leave the room. So how much of it were you there for?
Actually, I did stay around for the whole thing.
You did?
I think not much has changed since I was in middle school. There are still people who claim we have unidentified flying objects. They find a few people who say they saw something. And one of our witnesses today said he saw something in what we call the Tic Tac event, which are those little, you know, mints. And one pilot said he saw the things shaped like a mint, but bigger, flying very fast. It could turn around on a dime, stop on a dime. So something he'd never seen before. We had another pilot today who said he saw clear spherical-like things, and inside of them, big black square boxes. And these things were flying around also rather dramatically, but they were flying over the Atlantic Ocean. Kind of reminds me of the book I read over 50 years ago, in which a couple of people saw kind of amazing things. I'm sure I'll do a follow-up. One of our witnesses kept saying that he couldn't divulge all he knew unless it was in a closed setting. So I suppose we'll have to see him in a closed setting and see what he says. But that's kind of what we found out today. Kind of interesting. It was certainly very interesting when I was in middle school, and I guess it's still interesting today.
Well, it sure has gained a lot of interest. It's all over social media. It is everywhere. Now, I don't know how much you heard with my last guest, but I didn't touch this topic. I've been doing radio since I first hosted a radio show. I was a guest on many shows, but I didn't actually host my first national or any radio show until 1995 when Michael Reagan asked me to sit in and host his show. And then from there, I got my own show. And all those years I've been doing radio and TV since 1995, I did not touch this topic because it was in the Bigfoot category. But then in February of 2020, I finally agreed to cover it for 4 one-hour shows with some experts and bring a Christian worldview analysis to it. And so now I'm shocked. I mean, I just showed the audience a paper released in March of this year by the Pentagon working with a Harvard guy and claiming that, you know, a mothership hovers off and sends in, little dandelion seeds to survey what we're up to. I don't buy the guy that wanted to talk to you guys in the skiff. I wasn't buying. It sounded like he was quoting someone who was quoting someone. I do believe the commander that was also in a National Geographic documentary chasing this Tic Tac thing. I don't have so much of a problem with that. I think there are some demonic things going on. Even Jacques Vallée, who's an expert on UFOs and studied them for decades, we just read a quote by him. He's come out in the last few years and said, they're not extraterrestrials, it's demonology. This is stuff from the demonic realm. I have no problem with the idea that that's what's going on, and maybe that's what that Navy pilot saw. But when that guy in the middle said, oh, no, we've got a craft, and we have a non-human entity that was piloting it, but I can't talk to you, but I'm quoting someone else, he says, you know, who knows a friend, but I got to talk to you in a skiff, that's where I had to draw a line. Was anyone else in the room chuckling at that guy?
Well, no, I think this was a new topic for most members. Unlike me, they did not read a big book on UFOs were they in middle school. So I think some of them, perhaps out of courtesy and perhaps because they never heard this type of stuff before, they were not very jaded on what he's saying. And I'll agree with you. There are people who question him. I think the two actual naval pilots who actually saw something kind of interesting to see what we would come up with. There were questions we didn't have time to answer. Why does this stuff so disproportionately happen to the United States? You know, why don't we hear about this in the Greek Air Force or the Colombian Air Force? Or why don't we hear about more of it on commercial airliners? Now, they will argue that the guy in the middle here, the guy who you didn't feel was as good a witness, he would argue that all this is happening all the time, that people are just afraid to go forward.
All right, we'll hold it right there. Congressman Glenn Grothman, we'll be right back with Navy pilot Jason Pratt.
Book your tickets now for the 20th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. That's right, this is the 20th year of the Ozarks Worldview Weekend. We've been holding Worldview Weekends for 33 years, but this is our 20th year in a row to be in the Ozarks. And the lineup is big. All the speakers are in person. General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Dr. Peter McCullough, myself, Brandon House, Rebecca Walzer, Colonel John Mills, Alex Newman, Patrick Wood, Dr. Andy Woods, and Todd Benzman. We've sold out the last 2 years in a row, so don't miss out. To secure your tickets, you can purchase them online at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. Or you may call 901-468-9357. That's 901-468-9357. The conference starts on Friday night, October 20th, Saturday, the 21st, and Sunday morning worship is on the 22nd. It ends about 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Now, we also have the optional Thursday night Foundation Banquet. That is sold out the last 2 years in a row. The Thursday night concert banquet. It's a full concert and banquet on Thursday night, and that has sold out the last 2 years in a row. You can secure your tickets also on that same website, WVWTVstore.com, as well as for the Saturday luncheon, WVWTVstore.com. If you prefer to purchase them over the phone, the number is 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. Don't miss out on the 20th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend.
All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Let me let the Congressman Glenn Grothman finish what he was saying. So I think the two of us are in agreement about the guy that was in the middle yesterday talking about we've got a craft and we got a non-human entity. And I'm saying, well, is that a chimpanzee? You got a chimpanzee? If you do, just tell us you got a chimpanzee, because that would be non-human, as I said yesterday. So just because he says we have a there's a non-human entity, that doesn't mean anything to me, okay? And how do you know that this craft you have isn't from some other country that has technology and you're conflating the two, okay? There's just not enough information. I'm not buying the guy. Go back and watch him, watch his facial reactions, listen to his body language, and you tell me. I'm not buying it. But I do agree with the captain the commander that was the pilot. So it seems like Congressman Glenn Grothman and I are tracking right along together. Let's hear what a little bit more he said, Congressman Glenn Grothman of the 6th District of Wisconsin, who chaired this committee yesterday. Let's hear a little bit more, and then we'll bring in Jason Pratt.
Because people will claim they're not, so don't admit that you saw these spacecraft, you know, out and about. And I will eventually meet with this guy in the skiff, see if he can give me anything a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, when he says they're non-human entities they've got, I thought, well, you know what? Is it a monkey? Because I think we use monkeys in our space program. That's a non-human entity, but it's not an alien, for Pete's sake. It's a monkey. So when he says it's a non-human entity, I'm thinking, well, that may not be a big deal. You're not giving me enough information. But again, I'm just sharing it from my perspective. I find it all fascinating because from a Christian worldview perspective, I do anticipate as the years roll forward, we are going to see some spiritual deceptions on a global scale. All right, we'll hold it there. Great conversation. There's more there. If you go to WVWTV.com, you can watch my full interview with Congressman Glenn Grothman. We also got into the transgender movement and what that's doing. And he's, of course, being very, very vocal about that and how dangerous and wrong it is, and encouraging kids to do this. He is a very brave guy. You know, it's so politically incorrect to stand up for the traditional Judeo-Christian worldview value system, but he does. And so we talked about that. We talked about a few other things too. The border. We talked about the border, fentanyl. You know, the battlefield that's being prepared here by America's enemies. It was great, fascinating conversation with U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman of the 6th District of Wisconsin. You can watch the full interview on demand at WVWTV.com. Joining me now is Jason Pratt. Jason is a former Navy test pilot, literal rocket scientist, He's been with us several times before. He also has been a keynote speaker for our Ozarks Worldview Weekend, as well as our Contend Conference we did several times for young people here and hosted in the Mid-South. Jason, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Brandon, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. All right, guys, you got my introduction to my show running in the other window. What's that all about? All right. There we go. Logan is not in the control room today. It's kind of showing, isn't it? All right, there we go. Now we have a picture of Jason. There you go. All right, Jason, you want to tell our audience any more about your background? What did you retire as a commander? What did you retire as?
Yeah, so I'm a retired Navy veteran, commander, 25 years in the Navy. Flew F-14s, F-18s, and then as a test pilot, got to fly 25 other types of aircraft. Gliders, helicopters, B-25, World War II aircraft, F-16s, F-15s, all kinds of fun stuff. Several of my comrades are astronauts. And, I had the opportunity to work in a lot of classified things. And, I can say, I have no personal knowledge of any, highly classified test programs that would, kind of approach like a UFO, although I could talk about one that's not classified that you would think was a UFO and some other things, just, looking at history, I think to maybe shed some light on this. And then I can also address some of the other like SCIF comments that the individual talked about.
Okay, so
I
sent you some of these clips yesterday and you've looked over some of them. I have no problem, as I said, have said over and over now, with the commander, the Navy pilot, chasing this tic-tac. I have no problem with that. I've seen the video. You've seen it. We've all seen that video. That's doing something beyond what is known, within the known laws of the universe. But I had a real problem with the guy in the middle claiming, he's quoting. I don't even, know how he got there because he's not even citing it firsthand. He's a secondhand guy. What do you make of that guy? We've got a craft, or we've got a non-human entity.
Right. Yeah. So I think So Commander Fravor, I don't know that I actually met him, but we flew a lot with a lot of the same people. I flew in the exact area that he saw the Tic Tac. I know that area well. We've got months in that area.
So you're telling me California. Are you telling me you flew in that same area?
Oh yeah, I've flown in that same area, but I don't know how many, dozens and dozens of hours of flight time in those areas. In the same type of aircraft, Super Hornet, with the same type of equipment, the AT FLIR is what you see I forget what the AT stands for, forward looking infrared, targeting pod. That's what we see the video of the Tic Tac that everyone's seen on YouTube. Quite a good system, quite a good target tracker. We use it primarily for air to ground, but we also can use it for air to air purposes for reconnaissance or just tracking a target. So we can lock onto another aircraft based on its infrared signature. So I guess a couple things. One is, it can lock on, I think what he had locked on was certainly real, but it could lock on atmospheric, phenomenon. That would create, like sometimes you can see a wave and the sun reflects off that wave and you could get a lock on that momentarily. But he had a solid lock and tracking for quite a while and it was doing some very erratic things. Was it atmospheric? I don't know. I trust them. I think they're credible. Our community, our fighter community in the Navy is, we used to joke with friends like these, who needs enemies, so we're pretty hard on each other. So he wouldn't put his reputation and good standing in our community at risk by making fallacious or crazy claims.
So what
and
do you
he's
think?
He's backed up by others.
Backed up by others who were there flying with him. What do you think it was? Would you think it is technology of another country or technology by our government that we don't know about? Or do you think it could be some demonic entity that is, again, setting up the world for spiritual deception?
Yeah, so I think, I guess a couple things. One is, if this is a super advanced technology from, purportedly from another planet far, far away. They're able to travel, you know, the many, many light years that would take, you know, millions of years to travel. But they're somehow able to, you know, bridge that space-time gap, get here with that technology. But, you know, we're able to track it with infrared, you know, pretty basic, you know, I guess by comparison technology. I'm a little surprised by that. Plus, again, if they're so advanced that they would allow us to see them, confused there. And you know, that's not really purporting with, I think, a reasonable, you know, analysis of what's going on. Not only that, but then they're able to make that long, long travel. They have such advanced technology and capabilities, but then they crash when they get to our destination. I mean, granted, yeah, we've sent some pretty amazing technology to Mars, and it crashed. So we were able to get to Mars, and it crashed, and we were testing. But, you know, I think we're at a different level here. So there's a lot to be skeptical on in regards to this. As far as what he was actually seeing, I'm not sure. It certainly could have been demonic. I would see that, because if it was demonic, they would want to be seen. And that's, you know, their realm is to confuse, and they've served the Prince of Lies. So they would, you know, that flows logically, I think, with such a worldview and an interpretation. I find that, you know, if people like to use Occam's razor, I think that I find that to be a more plausible, simpler explanation of what they're observing would be possibly demonic. Could have been, again, technology. You know, I think a historical lesson is useful here. Go back to the 50s and think about the types of aircraft that we were flying in the 50s, mid-50s to late 50s. In general, what the public was aware of, right? We were getting into the jet age. We had broken the sound barrier. We were, you know, beginning to proceed to look into the space race. But here, you know, at the very classified levels, the black programs, you had things like the SR-71. You know, so people can Google that. Amazing, amazing aircraft built out of titanium. That was something that most industries didn't even know how to really use. But we built an aircraft out of it, and we're able to fly above 70,000 feet, going above Mach 3, you know, just absolutely incredible technology in the 50s. So if people would have seen that aircraft early on in the 50s, you know, I'm not sure when it got declassified or when people really became aware of it, but I would say, you know, a decade or two later. And then equivalently, think about the F-117 stealth fighter. It's actually a bomber, not a fighter, but nonetheless, that was flying in the 70s, and it really didn't make the headlines until the 90s, 20 years later. So imagine you're, you know, going to your disco party in the 70s wearing your bell bottoms, and you see an F-117 fighter. You would absolutely believe that you were looking at a UFO. You know, so technology didn't stop in the 70s or the 90s or the 2000s. So technology is still progressing. And what do we have out there? I personally don't know. One program I did work on was the X-47. So it's usually an experimental aircraft, the X-47 UCAS, unmanned carrier airborne system. And that aircraft is completely unmanned. It can take off and land off of aircraft carriers and fly a mission, drop bombs. It looks like a B-2 bomber. So it's just a flying wing, very low profile. It's stealthy. And like I said, unmanned. And, you know, if you saw this thing flying around, you know, I was working on that, 12 years ago. I think people 12 years ago would have been a little alarmed at seeing this thing flying around. So, and that's not a classified program. So,
let me ask you this. I sent you an article. Yeah. One of my friends there in, off the West Coast, sent me this, and Michelle sent me an article, and I sent it to you. It's from, I think, 2 years ago. TR-3B, anti-gravity spaceship capable of interstellar travel. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, many people, including government officials, reported about a huge triangular-shaped unknown aircraft cruising above them silently in Belgium and the United Kingdom. Those crafts were seen by the masses. The UK authority called them secret spy planes sent by the United States during the Cold War. Since then, the mysterious black triangle UFOs have been seen around the world. Dr. Michael Sala, known for his best-selling books on secret space programs, discussed the U.S. Air Force top secret program, Aurora, in his book, which is entitled U.S. Air Force Secret Space Program, Shifting Extraterrestrial Alliances and Space Force. According to him, Edgar Fauci, who served in the United States Air Force and Department of Defense, confirmed that during the 1970s, the Air Force, with the help of private aerospace companies, built a tactical reconnaissance aircraft known as TR-3B or Astra in the 1980s. Called it the most exotic and classified aerospace vehicle that could fly to the edge of space. Black Triangle would be called a hoax or natural aerial phenomenon if Belgian Army Colonel Andre Arnold did not see it himself along with his wife. We're going to ask pilot Jason Pratt about this when we come back. Don't go away.
We've been talking about it for years, and now it's happening. Many bank failures across the country, and many mainstream media are reporting that many other banks are likely to fail in the coming months. In fact, mainstream media is even reporting that many of these banks, well, they're in bad shape financially. We've been saying for years, if you took traditional accounting, took derivatives and all the other investments, put them on the books, many of these banks would be upside down. They'd be insolvent. Well, if you're concerned about the fact that the American dollar is going away as the world reserve currency, as Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Argentina, Iran, and others desire to gather a big global banking system and to destroy the American U.S. dollar, if that concerns you, and I think it should, then you might want to get the free information. Again, no obligation, free information on investing in precious metals. How to put gold in your IRA. The difference between bullion and numismatic 1933 and older coins that offer privacy by law. They offer privacy. If you want to learn more about this, and I advise that you do, you can get that free packet of information by calling Wes Peters, who I've been working with for, 17, 18 years with Swiss America and Wes Peters. Now, you can call him, or you can also just text him your name and address, and he'll put this packet of information in the mail to you right away. So you don't even have to call him. Just text him your name and your address. He'll put the packet of information in the mail to you, and then after you've had a chance to go over it, then follow up, get all your questions answered, and then make the decision that's best for you. To get that free, no-obligation packet of information from Wes Peters and Swiss America, the number is 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Text Wes today, and he'll have that free packet of information on its way to you.
All right, we're back. Glad you guys are with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. There's the music. Worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Jason Pratt joins me. Jason, do you have a website you want to mention?
Not really for this.
Okay. So let's talk about this article we were just going over before the break. Are you aware of this Black Triangle? It would be called a hoax or a natural aerial phenomenon if Belgium Army Colonel Andre Ammann did not see it himself, along with his wife. He claimed to have seen silently floating lights above his car in December of 1989. The same description was given by other police officers, and one of them said it was, quote, like lights on a huge football field, end quote. They suspected that they were U.S. military experimental crafts, but the U.S. Embassy in Brussels denied it. It was also connected to national security. They denied it as it was connected to national security. The Belgian Air Force, aviation authorities, and police conducted an investigation and sent F-16 aircraft to catch one of the unidentified intruders. The pilots intercepted the craft under their radar, but it showed an unusual behavior, such as jumping huge distances in seconds and accelerating beyond human capacity, they were told, according to General Wilfried D. Brouwer, retired Major General of the Belgian Air Force. According to a 1999 report by The Independent, the Astra Advanced Stealth Reconnaissance Aircraft, or AV-6, or Aurora, crashed during takeoff on a runway, runway 23 at Boscombe Down, on the evening of the 26th of September, 1994, and it goes on to how they covered it with tarps and blah, 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 and brought it into a hangar. Are you familiar with this?
So, yeah, I'm familiar with the story and the Belgian officer that, you know, he was trained in aircraft spotting. When I was in grad school and studying aerospace engineering before I joined the military, I was working actually on research programs for the what would become the JSF, Joint Strike Fighter, now the F-35 fighter. So I was in the early 90s or mid-90s. And, yeah, Aurora, you know, was they have plastic models out there. You can go buy them, you know, based on these eyewitness accounts and whatnot. You know, I don't have any personal knowledge of an actual Aurora program. I'm not aware of anything declassified about it or classified for that matter. So, but I am aware of the stories. Again, that was before I even joined the military and got involved in military aviation myself as a military member. So this program is, you know, I think pretty a lot written about it, you know, a lot of information. I think it's absolutely credible, the capabilities that would have been, I think, you know, again, going back to our history lesson of what was going on in the 50s and 70s and 80s and 90s, that it's possible this could have been flying. I think it's perfectly credible. They're doing an awfully good job of keeping it secret, you know, but they did with, you know, the F-117 as well. So, yeah, is there some capabilities out there? I absolutely believe there could be that could be mistaken as UFOs. There's other, you know, legitimate declassified programs that were space research and other things related to, you know, some of our early spy satellite programs that have been declassified. Again, many of those typically done under the cover of darkness at nighttime, and the recovery operations and other things were frequently confused and interpreted as UFO sightings. And again, so a UFO, and, you know, they've changed the name now just, I guess, to try to change the specter of the topic, you know, and the conspiracy theory aspect of it, you know, getting away from that Bigfoot feel of it. So, you know, they've just changed it. But a UFO is still, regardless of what you call it, it's just an unidentified flying object, and it's unidentified until you identify it.
Exactly.
So, all it is.
Let me ask you about this. Here's another article Mitch and Michelle sent me, and I sent on to you. It's from Next Big Future. If these U.S. Navy patents are made, then we are in a Star Trek technology world. And it's talking about, I don't understand it. You're the rocket scientist. You went over this. What is this showing us?
Yeah, there's various patents, but a lot of those are from research, right? So I don't know if they were from the Navy Research Lab, you know, NRL, or the Navy Applied Research Lab, or Air Force Applied Research Labs, but a lot of these, you know, physicists and others, they will research things, and they'll think they have an idea, and some of it might be just theoretical. But even on that, they will file a patent based on, like, well, it might work, and maybe they haven't got it quite yet, but they'll file a patent, one, just so they have a patent on it. And that way, if it does work, then, you know, they could obviously do very well from a business perspective. So just because there's a patent doesn't necessarily mean that it's real. So any of these things, I don't know that they're real. I think they're at least theoretical at this point. But yeah, these technologies would be pretty stunning that would allow for us to kind of, I guess, change the way we interact with the physics as we understand it. And like an example would be early on when we first started going supersonic, before leading up to that in John Glenn, or not John Glenn, why am I forgetting his name? Anyway, the Bell X1, before we went supersonic the first time, you know, physicists and aerodynamicists believed that it was impossible to go supersonic, that there was a thing they called the thermal thicket, that it was just too difficult to penetrate, and that you just couldn't survive beyond the speed of sound in a human aircraft. That was until we did it, and we learned something about what's called the area rule and how you shape a fuselage and how you can use either lifting bodies or swept wings at appropriate angles to allow you to penetrate the sound barrier and not cause destruction of the aircraft.
Are you thinking of Chuck Supersonic. Yeager? Chuck Yeager or Shepard?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Yeager. Yeah, Chuck Yeager. I don't know why I was blanking on his name. Yeah, so General Chuck Yeager, yeah. So until we did that, you know, that was just unknown, and we found out that just changing the shape, like, of the fuselage and the sweep of the wings allows you to go supersonic. And so something that was believed to be physically impossible was now understood and could be easily done. I mean, almost every flight I went on, I could go supersonic. It was almost a non-event. And so, you know, these are just things as we
But
learn
you don't and, think and, you don't know that we have any kind of technology that mimics what the commander is talking about, anything that's anti-gravity, right? You don't know of any technology like that.
I don't know of any, no. I mean, those patents, you know, I think could be at least, you know, a lot of times when you're researching, you'll file patents just to get the be on the ground floor and have the rights to this technology if you're able to further develop it and make it real. But at this point, I'm not aware of any of those being real. But if they were, they'd be pretty astonishing. But the patents were pretty basic as far as, like, they were more just the ideas and a possible design of it, but not something that you could actually build in your garage or lab at this point and actually make work that I'm aware of.
Interesting. You want to take some calls with us?
Sure. 1-800-347-9829,
1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Let me play a little bit of the commander, his testimony from yesterday while you guys get on board. 1-800-347-9829.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Congressman, Congresswoman. I want to first thank you for the invitation to speak to the committee on the UAP topic that's been in the news for the past 6 years and seems to be continuing to gain momentum. As you know, my name is David Fravor. I'm a retired commander in the United States Navy. In 2004, I was a commanding officer of Strike Fighter Squadron 41, the world-famous Black Aces. We were attached to Carrier Wing 11, stationed on board the USS Nimitz, and had begun a two-month workup cycle off the coast of California. On this day, we were scheduled for a 2v2 air-to-air training with the USS Princeton as our control. When we launched off Nimitz, my wingman was joining up. We were told that the training was going to be suspended, and we're going to proceed with real-world tasking. As we proceeded to the west, the air controller was counting down the range to an object that we were going to, and we were unaware of what we were going to see when we arrived. The controller told us that these objects had been observed for over 2 weeks, coming down from over 80,000 feet, rapidly descending to 20,000 feet, hanging out for hours, and then going straight back up. For those who don't realize, above 80,000 feet is space. We arrived at the location at approximately 20,000 feet, and the controller called merge plot, which means that our radar blip was now in the same resolution cell as the contact. As we looked around, we noticed that we saw some white water off our right side. It's important to note that the weather on this day was as close to perfect as you could ask for off the coast of San Diego. Clear skies, light winds, calm seas, no white caps from waves. So the white water stood out in a large blue ocean. All four of us, because we were in F-18Fs, so we had pilots and Wizzo in the back seat, looked down a small, saw a white tic-tac object with a longitudinal axis pointing north-south and moving very abruptly over the water like a ping-pong ball. There were no rotors, no rotor wash, or any sign of visible control surfaces like wings. As we started clockwise towards the object, my Wizzo and I decided to go down and take a closer look with the other aircraft staying in high cover to observe both us and the tic-tac. We proceeded around the circle about 90 degrees from the start of our descent, and the object suddenly shifted its longitudinal axis, aligned it with my aircraft, and began to climb. We continued down another 270 degrees, nose low, where the tic-tac, or we continued 270 degrees, to where the, and we went nose low to where the tic-tac would have been. Our altitude at this point was about 15,000 feet, and the tic-tac was about 12,000. As we pulled nose onto the object, within about a half mile of it, it rapidly accelerated in front of us and disappeared. Our wingmen, roughly 8,000 feet above us, lost contact also. We immediately turned back to see where the white water was at, and it was gone also. So as we started to turn back towards the east, the controller came up and said, "Sir, you're not going to believe this, but that thing is at your cap point, roughly 60 miles away in less than a minute. You can calculate the speed." We returned to Nimitz. We were taking off our gear. We were talking to one of my crews that was getting ready to launch. We mentioned it to him. And they went out and luckily got the video that you see, that 90-second video. What you don't see is the radar tape that was never released, and we don't know where it's at, of the act of jamming that the object put on an APG-73 radar. And I can get into modes later if you're interested. What is shocking to us is that the incident was never investigated. None of my crew were ever questioned. Tapes were never taken. And after a couple days, it turned into a great story with friends. It wasn't until 2009, till Jay Stratton had contacted me to investigate. Unbeknownst to all, he was part of the ATIP program in the Pentagon, led by Lou Elizondo. And there was an unofficial official report that came out that's now on the Internet. Years later, I was contacted by the other pilot, Alex Dietrich, and asked if I'd been contacted, and I said no, but I'm willing to talk. I was contacted by Mr. Elizondo, And we talked for a short period of time, and he said we'd be in contact. A few weeks after that, I was made aware that Lou had left the Pentagon in protest and joined forces with Tom DeLonge, Chris Mellon, Steve Justice, and others to form Two Stars Academy, an organization that pressed the issue with leading industry experts and U.S. government officials. They worked with Leslie Keene, who is present today, Rob Blumenthal, and Helene Cooper to publish the articles in the New York Times 2017 New York Times, and it removed the stigma on the topic of UFOs, which is why we're here today. Those articles open the door for the government and public that cannot be closed. It has led to an interest from our elected officials who are not focused on little green men, but figuring out where these craft are, where are they from, the technology they possess, how do they operate. It also led to the Whistleblower Protection Act and the NDAA. There are multiple witnesses coming forward to say that have firsthand knowledge, and Mr. Grush just covered that. What concerns me is that there's no oversight from our elected officials on anything associated with our government processing or working on craft. Believe not from this world. This issue is not a full public disclosure that could undermine national security, but it is about ensuring that our system of checks and balances works across all work done in the government using taxpayer funds. Relative to government programs, even...
All right, I'm going to hold it right there. Come back from the break. We're going to take your calls. We'll get Jason to respond to that and take your calls. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Don't forget, Crosstalk with Jim Schneider comes up right after this broadcast on the VCY America Radio Network. Those of you listening on all the other platforms that now pick up this program, if you are looking for a solidly Christian worldview, Christian network, not one Christian in name, but a real Christian network that teaches the Bible in context and gives news and information. Well, I've been working with them for 25 years. VCYAmerica.org to get their app. Find out about the Roku channel. VCYAmerica.org. Hello, I'm Brandon House. And as I have talked about on radio and television, I've received numerous subpoenas because of the many, I believe, lawfare lawsuits against Mike Lindell. Because I work with Mike Lindell, I've been subpoenaed several times. I recently, in May, had a deposition that lasted about 6.5 hours. I have another one coming up in July. Now, you know what's really frustrating about this is it not only takes away time and energy in studying and preparing for radio and television, but it costs thousands of dollars. The estimation right now is for that one deposition, about $10,000 in attorney fees. And we still have, well, I do, another deposition to go through in July. So again, we appreciate your support now more than ever as we continue to fight for truth and try to preserve our constitutional republic. If you appreciate all we're doing to push out free radio shows, free TV shows, and you also want to help us continue to defend these liberties and freedoms amidst all the challenges, we appreciate your support by going right now to WVWFoundation.com and making a contribution of any size. That's WVWFoundation.com. You can also call to make a contribution over the phone, 901-468-9357. That's 901-468-9357. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You'll find that at WVWFoundation.com. Our mailing address, though, is WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for your support. All right. I've said before the break I've been working with VCY for 25 years. It's closer to 28 years. Woohoo! Where's the time going? All right. Let's quick response, Jason. The phone lines are lit up. Quick response to what you just heard from the commander, please.
Yeah, so Commander Fravor, yeah, very credible witness. The APG-73 radar, it's an AESA scanned phased array radar, phenomenal radar, used it a bunch. And the Princeton, that is an Aegis destroyer, worked with them before too. They have an incredible radar on board there, so very high resolution. You know, it's curious then that this advanced technology, you know, doesn't have stealth technology that we were able to obtain, you know, tracks of them. So I don't know. I think everything surrounding this sounds more like a very classified black program that doesn't want to be acknowledged, and that's why the government, you know, you kind of generally see DOD not taking or the Pentagon taking any action on this, which is kind of like, you know, skirting the issue. This, to me, is the response I would expect out of a, you know, unacknowledged classified program.
Wow. Let's go to William, line one. William, thanks for calling in, William. Hi, William. All right, let's go to line two. Ken in California. Ken, thanks for calling in. Ken, line two.
Hi, William in Detroit.
Thanks for all you do, sir.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed what your guest said about aliens coming from light years away, crashing with all that technology. You know, my whole life, I've always thought that there's no way anyone could get here because supposedly the closest thing is light years away. And I just did a quick calculation. This isn't exact, but the speed of light, you could go around the Earth 26,000 times in an hour. And so to do that in a year, oh, God, how could somebody even get here? And thanks for everything that you guys talk about.
Thank you, Ken. Do you want to comment on that, Jason?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I mean, the distances are hard for us to fathom, and it would take really from the nearest potential location would probably take hundreds, thousands of years to get here.
Let me ask you on going back to the demonic aspect, though. You do agree with me, while we may have some technology we don't know about being picked up here and could be, again, our government with technology they don't want to talk about yet, but would you agree with me that not all these sightings are technology? Some of them can be easily identified. Others are demonic. And when these people keep having these consistent stories of being sexually abused by these entities, I believe that what a lot of these people are fooling around with is the demonic world. They've somehow entered into the demonic realm. I don't know if they're engaging in reading books they shouldn't be reading, or Ouija boards or Torah cards or horoscopes or whatever they're doing. But somehow they've opened up themselves to the demonic realm. But you get these consistent stories, and a lot of them, again, are talking about sexual abuse. Some of them think they've actually been transported. I tend to think they're not being transported. Things are being manipulated to make them think they are. They've never physically left the room. So what I'm asking is, do you agree in some cases the objects can be identified? In some cases, it may be technology that's just not being revealed to the public. And the third is some of these people are actually encountering something demonic. Would you agree with those three classifications?
Yeah, I would definitely. And I think in the demonic side, you know, particularly whenever you review a lot of the evidence of the third encounters, that's where you have the physical encounter. These would seem to be more of a demonic because the interactions quickly turn spiritual and frequently talk about the God of the Bible, not Buddha, Muhammad, or some other, but the God of the Bible. And that's, knowing that scripture is true and that's the reality of creation, then this would comport with that. And that, to me, you know, again, following Occam's razor of logic, that's the most logical explanation.
Let's go to an unknown. Line three, unknown. Thanks for calling in.
Line one, Brandon.
Line one. All right, let's go to line one. Line one, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, Brandon, just a quick thought. So, you know, Hollywood pushes all these movies with aliens coming from outer space, and that's a bad thing. But then when we have aliens coming in through the border invading us, then that's a good thing. So that's hypocrisy. But then the whole issue of a science teacher in high school, a little bit of humor, you know, they said they were asked the question whether or not they believe there was intelligent life in outer space. And he goes, well, I don't know about that, but I know there's no intelligent life in this classroom. So, you know, we're chasing after things that don't make any sense. But that was a great point. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the great point that how can these alien life forms get here from millions of light years away and then somehow they crash or they won't, you know, somehow contact us. That doesn't make any sense. So thank you so much for your guest service to our country as well. And thank you for the great program.
Great call. Thank you. You know, also, Jason, conspiracy theories are fine on UFOs, but don't have a, quote, conspiracy theory about the government and their corruption and their tyranny and murder of citizens and cover up of crime and working with gun runners and China and fentanyl. Those conspiracies are not acceptable, but they can hold hearings on conspiracy theories over UFOs. Those are acceptable.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, white powder found in the White House, but we can't solve that, but we've got it nailed down on, you know, we're going to figure out UFOs. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's so many other quote unquote conspiracy theories out there that are still the third rail. Don't touch them, that have much more actionable, reliable data and proof and evidence that makes them not conspiracy theories, but actual conspiracies that you will still get canceled for But here we are talking about UAPs. It's puzzling. To me, it's a narrative shift in order to distract people and get them off of the real topics that are important. So it's a great distraction. It's just like the Roman emperors of old, just providing more gladiator games to get people's attention off of other things and allow them to continue with their, you know, their shenanigans.
Very, very good. Very good comment. Line four, David from Florida. Line four, David, thanks for calling in, David.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Great, nice, David.
Nice to speak with you again.
Thank you, David.
You know, I just have a theory here. What if these, increase in UFO sightings, like to reiterate to what you and some of your guests have said, what if the reason that they're not showing up on radar or whatnot, what if they're not actually, what if people are thinking that they have technology that's jamming all that stuff, but in reality, they're materializing out of a spiritual realm, you know, which is in line with what the Bible says as far as God sending strong delusion, and, you know, near the end days, you know, that because how many people do you know of once they think that there's alien life out there, they'll throw their Bibles away.
Ah, very good
point. Strong delusion. I tend to think that they're materializing out of a spiritual realm and not actively jamming anything. They're just, you know, we just think it's happening.
I think that's a great call. And I think we go back to our three classifications: that which can be explained, that which is new technology that's not been revealed, and then the demonic world. And what's interesting, David, Jacques Vallée, one of the leading experts on UFOs, who I don't believe is a Christian, has gone from saying extraterrestrial to what you just said, demonology. They just appear and disappear. Jason, thanks for being with us. Take care.
Thank you.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
We have some new items at WVWTVstore.com. One of them is a vault of heirloom seeds, 20 variety of seeds in a big can, and it has a 5-year shelf life. Now, we've wanted to carry these for a long time, but our distributor said no because they could not keep them in stock themselves. In fact, they went out of stock for 3 years. Then they got them back, and I started begging them to let me buy up a big supply to offer to you. But they said no, but I just kept persisting. And finally, they said, fine, you're a good customer of ours. Your audience uses a lot of our products, and so we'll make it available to you. So we have secured a large shipment of heirloom seeds, 20 varieties in the can that you'll receive. And the can preserves the seeds for 5 years. We all know the fragility of the food supply. We know how they're probably trying to collapse this food supply system of ours on purpose, right? So why be under their thumb? Be independent with your own food source, and that starts, I think, with a vault of heirloom seeds, 20 varieties in a can. You'll find them at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You'll also find a lot of other items we've added in the last few months, some great survival gear that every family should have as a part of their common sense plan. Full details at WVWTVstore.com. Thank you for purchasing from us. It's a big part of our general operating budget. So as you purchase from us, you're helping us continue to push out free radio and TV shows and keep WVW Broadcast Network going. But you also get great products for your family. So we're all winning. So thank you for telling your family and friends about the great products available at WVWTVstore.com.